When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Dolly. Before I continue, please like and subscribe. The key to surviving unexpected chaos is maintaining your composure. At least, that's what I told myself when I found an 8-year-old boy sitting cross-legged on my doorstep, surrounded by a mismatched collection of superhero backpacks and plastic storage bins. My apartment complex was quiet that evening. The typical hum of suburban life, distant lawnmowers, children's distant shouts, the occasional car door slam, seemed to pause as I stood frozen, my work bag dangling from my shoulder, keys halfway to the lock. "Tyler?" I asked, though I already knew who he was. My cousin Emma's son, a child I'd met maybe twice in his entire life. He looked up, his blue eyes, so much like Emma's, meeting mine with a mixture of defiance and vulnerability. "Hi, Aunt Dolly," he said, pronouncing aunt with two distinct syllables. The first thing I noticed was how prepared he seemed. Packed bags, color-coded folders, a lunchbox that looked like it had been meticulously organized by someone who definitely was not 8 years old. Or Emma. Before I could ask any questions, Tyler handed me an envelope. "Mom said to give you this," he announced, his voice a strange mix of rehearsed politeness and underlying uncertainty. Inside was a 3-page single-spaced document. Not a letter, not a note. A literal manifesto of parenting guidelines for Tyler's temporary placement. I'll spare you the entire document, but some highlights included: exactly 7.5 hours of screen time per week, organic, gluten-free meals only, bedtime precisely at 8:17 p.m., mandatory daily journaling, no sugar after 4 p.m. educational podcasts during breakfast. The last line was what truly caught my attention. "Tyler will be staying with you for the foreseeable future. Thanks for understanding. Emma." No explanation, no discussion, just a unilateral decision. My family history with Emma was complicated. She'd always been the wild child, the one who made spectacular life choices that inevitably required someone else to clean up her mess. Our grandmother used to say Emma lived her life like a tornado, leaving destruction in her wake and expecting everyone else to rebuild. "Where's your mom?" I asked Tyler, though I already suspected the answer. He shrugged, a gesture too adult for an 8-year-old. "She dropped me off, said you'd take care of everything." The everything was evident in the bags around him: clothes, books, school materials, and what appeared to be a meticulously organized medication kit. This wasn't a spontaneous drop-off.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two-way raised to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This was a calculated relocation. I invited Tyler inside, more out of shock than hospitality. My apartment, previously a pristine sanctuary of minimalist design and carefully curated art prints, suddenly felt smaller. More chaotic. Are you hungry? I asked, immediately regretting it. The parenting manual, because that's what it truly was, likely had specific nutritional guidelines. Tyler pulled out the lunchbox and extracted a precisely wrapped sandwich. I'm good, he said. Mom packed my dinner. The sandwich was cut into a perfect geometric triangle, wrapped in what looked like compostable paper, with a handwritten note, "Eat your vegetables. Be good for Dolly." As the evening progressed, I discovered Tyler was both incredibly self-sufficient and paradoxically lost. He knew exactly how to fold his clothes, make his assigned bed, and follow his mother's extensive instructions. But he watched me with these searching eyes, as if trying to understand the new landscape he'd been dropped into. I called Emma. Predictably, her phone went straight to voicemail. "This is Emma," her cheerful message played. "I'm probably doing something amazing right now. Leave a message." The irony wasn't lost on me. By 8:17 p.m., yes, exactly 8:17 per the manual, Tyler was in bed, showered, teeth brushed, homework completed, a routine so precise it felt more like a military operation than childcare. I sat in my living room, surrounded by superhero backpacks and color-coded folders, trying to process what had just happened. My meticulously planned life had been upended in the span of an evening. One thing was clear: Emma had orchestrated this. But why? And for how long? Little did I know, this was just the beginning of a journey that would challenge everything I thought I knew about family, responsibility, and unexpected love. The next morning, I woke up to the sound of Tyler making breakfast. Perfectly measured oatmeal, freshly sliced fruit, a level of precision that would make a Swiss watchmaker proud. "I always make breakfast for myself," he said when he caught me staring. "Mom says independence is important." My first mission was to track down Emma. I started with phone calls, her cell, her work number, her emergency contact. Each call went to voicemail. Text messages remained unread. It was like she had vanished into thin air, leaving behind an 8-year-old and a stack of meticulously written instructions. By noon, I'd enlisted my colleague Mark to help me investigate. Mark was a family law paralegal with an uncanny ability to dig up information. "This isn't the first time Emma's pulled something like this," Mark said, spreading documents across my kitchen table. "I've seen her file before. She's got a history of, let's call it, creative parenting." The documents told a story of multiple job changes, brief relationships, and sporadic child support payments. Tyler had been shuffled between relatives, schools, and temporary guardians more times than I could count. When Emma finally returned my call, her response was infuriatingly casual. "Oh, Dolly," she said, as if we were discussing weekend plans, "I need you to follow the parenting guide I left. Tyler requires a very specific routine." "Emma, you can't just drop your child on my doorstep," I responded, trying to keep my voice steady. "I'm going through some things," she said. "It's just temporary. A few months, maybe. Your family, you understand?" The conversation was a masterclass in avoidance. She demanded I maintain her elaborate parenting system while offering zero explanation about her own circumstances. No discussion of when she'd return, no plan, just expectations. Mark helped me understand my options. We scheduled a consultation with Linda Rodriguez, a family services social worker who specialized in temporary guardianship situations. "Tyler's situation is complicated," Linda explained in her office. Walls covered with certificates and family support posters surrounded us. "Your cousin has a pattern of what we call serial guardianship, moving Tyler between family members without establishing a stable home environment." The documents Mark had gathered painted a clear picture. Emma had a history of short-term jobs, unstable relationships, and inconsistent childcare. Tyler had attended 5 different schools in 3 years. His medical records showed missed appointments. His educational history was a patchwork of incomplete records. "She's not malicious," Linda said carefully, "but she's fundamentally unable to provide consistent care." Tyler, meanwhile, was adapting with a resilience that broke my heart. He unpacked his bags with military precision, organized his school supplies, and followed his mother's instructions to the letter. But beneath the carefully constructed exterior, I could see a child desperate for stability. That evening, I received a series of texts from Emma, each one more demanding than the last. "Make sure Tyler takes his vitamin supplements exactly at 6 p.m. His math tutor needs to be from this specific online platform. No processed foods. Everything must be organic." The instructions were becoming increasingly bizarre and controlling. Mark helped me draft a formal communication to Emma. We needed documentation. We needed boundaries. We needed to understand exactly what was happening. "She can't just abandon her child," Mark said, reviewing the draft. "And she can't dictate every minute detail of Tyler's life from a distance." Tyler overheard part of our conversation. For the first time, I saw a crack in his carefully maintained composure. "Is Mom coming back?" he asked, his voice small. I realized then that this wasn't just about me. This was about a child who had been constantly shuffled, constantly uncertain. A child who had learned to be perfect, to be invisible, to be no trouble at all. "We're going to figure this out," I told him. And I meant it. The next steps were clear. Legal consultation, social services involvement, understanding Tyler's true needs beyond his mother's elaborate instruction manual. Little did I know our journey was just beginning. Emma might have dropped Tyler on my doorstep, but I was determined to provide the stability he desperately needed. Linda from Family Services became our lifeline. She helped us understand the psychological impact of Tyler's unstable upbringing. "He's learned to be invisible," Linda explained during our first consultation. "Perfect behavior is his survival mechanism." I started small, trying to break through Tyler's carefully constructed shell. Movie nights, cooking together, conversations that didn't involve his mother's instruction manual. One evening, while making homemade pizza, I saw a glimpse of a real 8-year-old boy. Tyler giggled when sauce splattered on his cheek. For just a moment, he looked like a child, not a miniature adult. The legal process moved slowly. Mark filed preliminary documents for temporary guardianship, documenting Emma's consistent failure to provide stable care. "She's treating Tyler like a project," Mark said, reviewing the case files. "Not a child." Slowly, we began to establish our own normal. Tyler started to relax. His perfectly organized world began to have room for spontaneity, laughter, actual childhood. Linda smiled during one of our meetings. "He's starting to be a kid," she observed. "That's the most important thing." The path ahead was uncertain, but for the first time, Tyler had something he'd never had before: stability, a chance to just be a child. And I was determined to give him that chance. The courtroom felt both massive and intimate. Mark sat beside me, a reassuring presence as we waited for the final guardianship hearing. Tyler clutched a small superhero figurine, his fingers tracing its edges. He'd become my shadow over the past months, learning what it meant to be a child instead of a miniature adult. Linda had prepared us for this moment. Months of documentation, psychological evaluations, and Emma's consistent pattern of neglect had built our case. The judge was a stern woman with kind eyes. She reviewed the extensive file documenting Emma's repeated failures: missed child support payments, inconsistent living situations, and complete disregard for Tyler's emotional well-being. "Miss Emma Rodriguez has demonstrated a persistent inability to provide stable care for her child," the judge stated flatly. "Temporary guardianship will be converted to full legal guardianship for Dolly." Emma's consequences came swiftly. Her pattern of serial guardianship triggered a formal investigation by Child Services. Her professional licenses, she worked intermittently as a freelance consultant, were suspended pending a full review. "You can't do this to me," Emma had screamed during her last confrontation, but the evidence was overwhelming. After the hearing, Mark explained the long-term implications. "Emma will need to complete parenting classes, maintain a stable job, and demonstrate consistent financial support if she wants any future custody considerations. Linda continued to support us, helping Tyler through therapy sessions that unpacked years of emotional suppression. "He's learning to be a kid," she told me during one of our follow-up meetings, "and you're learning to be a parent." The journey wasn't over, but for the first time, Tyler had something he'd never had before: a real home, a place of stability, a future full of possibilities. And I was ready for whatever came next. Would you abandon your family if it meant prioritizing your personal goals? What sacrifices are too great when it comes to parental responsibility? Have you ever been in a situation where a family member's choices put you in an impossible position? Drop your stories below. Don't forget to like and subscribe.